Welcome to the Edu All-Stars Podcast.
Hey guys, and welcome to the 62nd episode of Edu All-Stars. My name is Todd Nessaloni, and you can find me on Twitter at TechNinjaTodd, and my co-host today is...
My name is Chris Kessler. You can find me on Twitter at IamKessler. And thanks, everyone, for listening in tonight. We've got a great episode coming up. And I just want to thank you for all the reviews and responses that we receive via email, and especially on iTunes. If you leave a rating there, it really helps out the viewership. So I appreciate that immensely.
And we would like to thank Miami Device for being this week's sponsor. Miami Device is going to be an amazing two-day conference happening November 6th and 7th in sunny South Florida. The lineup of keynotes and featured speakers is unlike any other event, and you will definitely want to be there. And you can go to miamidevice.org and check out all the details for this event, and hopefully we'll see you there, because I know I will be there for sure.
Cool. And as you listen to this week's episode, we encourage you to tweet using the hashtag EduAllStars. And then Todd usually does a pretty good job of tweeting a little back channel tweet when he doesn't when he can. So during the show,
when
so
you can focus long enough.
When you can focus, it's pretty tough with just the two of us, but we'll try to do that as well.
Well, and we are so excited this week for this week's guest. It is Greg Smedley, who is a kindergarten teacher in Nashville, Tennessee, and is widely known as the Kindergarten Smorgasbord. So, Greg, thanks for being on with us today.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. I'm very excited to be here.
Cool.
Well, Greg, the place where we always like to start with our guests, just getting a little bit of background about them and how they ended up in education. So what's your story?
Well, I've been teaching for 9 years. Six of those years have been in kindergarten. I actually started out teaching fifth grade in a middle school, and after I did that for a year, I had the opportunity to move to second grade. So I did that, taught second grade for 2 years, and then very willingly was moved to kindergarten, and fell in love the first day of kindergarten, and so now that's my passion and my heart.
So, and that's what you're still in the classroom, correct?
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah, cool, yes. Very cool.
My district pushed really hard this summer to get me to become a coach, an instructional coach for the district, but I have no desire to leave the classroom.
Yeah, and that's something that I know Todd battled with for a little while, and I'm battling with now. The listeners probably ever know that I'm in a master's program right now for education administration. It's just like, when do you know it's right? Like right now, I feel great. I can, you know, we start tomorrow. I'm ready to like see the kids. I can't wait to get back in my eighth grade classroom. And like that is school to me. I don't necessarily know that I want to be in a leadership position at this point.
Yeah, Chris, rub it in.
But you know it is what it is. I think everyone has their own little individual knowledge when that decision needs to come, yeah. Needs to happen. So let's talk about Kindergarten Smorgasbord. That's your blog. Like, when did you just start wanting to share information with other people on the web?
I think it's been almost 3 years. It'll be 3 years coming up next May. And I had been a blog follower and a blog stalker. Especially when I got moved to kindergarten, like I spent the summer before kindergarten, like reading everything I could possibly read because I was terrified. And after a year in kindergarten, it was kind of one of those things where I started thinking about it and thinking about it. Wasn't sure how to do it. Wasn't sure that I could do it. And so finally one day with my husband's kind of nudging along, I was like, okay, I'm going to do it. And so I just sat down that day, and I did the first post and took off from there.
It's so definitely taken off from there for sure.
Right? Yeah, it's definitely
taken off. Like, I was like, okay, I'm going to do it, and I did it.
But you've really taken and run with it. I mean, you've got this logo. The site is very well done. Is it something that's difficult for you to keep up with?
It can be overwhelming at times. Definitely can be overwhelming. I've kind of taken it down a little bit since school started, not trying to blog every day, just trying to find a little balance. But yeah, I mean, it can definitely be overwhelming. It's like having a second full-time job.
Right.
Yeah.
So how do you know when to focus on one or the other, when one is becoming more than the other?
that it's hard. You know, teachers, we never stop. Like, our minds are always on teaching. And then when you add that extra layer of having a blog, it really does become something that sometimes somebody from the outside has to say, hey, maybe you need to take a little step back. And, you know, I realized that things were missing in my life that were there before, and so I realized that it was time to step back a little bit.
Yeah, good for you. I'm kind of going through that same bit with my wife right now. So talk about your schedule for a blog post. I'm always fascinated by people's just kind of like their scheduling and how they do things. Is it something you do every day, or you try to post twice a week, or how do you schedule posts?
I'm not good at scheduling mine. Like, I know people who have them scheduled for months in advance, and I'm like, how in the world do you do that? I try to blog every day, Monday through Friday, and Sunday, but it doesn't always happen. And if it doesn't happen, I'm okay with that. But my schedule is I'll come home from work, I'll let the dog out, and then I'll sit down and write a blog post. And that's kind of my daily routine. It's a good way for me to kind of unwind from the day. It's a good time to reflect. It allows me to think about what went on that day, what worked, what didn't work, what can be better. So that's just kind of my daily routine.
You're probably at a point now with your blog where people are anticipating your next blog post, and then when you don't post something, hey, is everything okay? like I haven't seen you in a couple of days.
Right.
So like people are actually depending on you to be there for them.
Right. No pressure at all. No pressure.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, Greg, you're also really active on Teachers Pay Teachers.
Yes.
What has that experience been like, and how did that come about?
It's amazing. It's amazing to know that something that I have created that has been really created for my students to use in our classroom, that other people have a desire to use that with their kids. And, you know, it's a tremendous honor that other teachers put enough faith in you that they want to purchase something and they trust you enough to use that in their own classroom with their own students. My niece was in kindergarten last year, and it was really cool to go visit her classroom a couple of times and see my stuff in her classroom. And so in a really weird way, I was getting to teach my niece. It really is an amazing journey every day. But it started... I started my blog in May, and I think I posted my first thing on Teachers Pay Teachers that following October. So it's been almost 3 years for that, too.
So do you use your blog to support your Teachers Pay Teachers? I mean, you use marketing efforts as well, then?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I don't have the blog to be a commercial for something.
Right.
I want people to come to my blog to get ideas that they can use in their classroom the next day. But what I do with my blog and Teachers Pay Teachers is that I'll show my kids in my classroom using the stuff that I've created. So people can see it actually being used in the classroom, seeing that it works, seeing that kids enjoy it. So that's how my blog supports Teachers Pay Teachers.
Cool. So go ahead, Todd. Oh, sorry, I had a little feedback. I know you were out there at the Teachers Pay Teachers Conference in Vegas. We didn't get to meet each other. I was out there as well. But you did a session while you were out there, so you presented on a panel. Talk a little bit about the panel you did.
Yeah, I was on a panel with five other teacher bloggers, and it was a question and answer session about blogging in general and then using your blog as a way to support Teachers Pay Teachers. A lot of good questions about how do you do it all, scheduling, you know, ideas and resources versus, making it this big commercial. A lot of what we've already talked about, that's the kind of questions that people had.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, those are things that I think everybody who's getting into blogging and Teachers Pay Teachers, they have those same sorts of questions over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, a lot of teachers that we talk to, are great in front of their students, but get absolutely terrified speaking in front of adults. What kind of the, where do you fall in the spectrum?
I love it. I spoke at the kindergarten conference in Vegas also, and I was terrified. I was absolutely terrified. But as soon as I got up there and got the first couple of sentences came out, like, it was like, okay, this is amazing. Yeah. So I loved it, and hopefully I'll get to do a lot more of that. I had a blast.
Do you present very often?
The National Kindergarten Conference was my first time. Wow. No. I mean, if you're
here you go.
So what kind of things do you like to talk about whenever you do your presentation?
When I'm presenting, what I talk about is just what happens in my classroom. For the kindergarten conference, we worked out three sessions. One was reading, and one was math, and one was art. And so I really just talk about what I do in my classroom and what works in my classroom. And again, it's something I want people to be able to walk away with one idea that they can use in their classroom the very next day. So that's what I'm shooting for.
Sure. And I'm sure you know Matt Gomez, right?
Yes.
You guys probably run in the same circles and everything since you're both.
I got to meet Matt in Vegas.
Okay, that's what I was going to say. I think he presented at that same conference, correct? Yeah, okay, cool. Yeah, he's a mutual friend of ours.
Go ahead.
I was going to read your question.
Greg, as a teacher, what's one of the things that you hope children leave your classroom with?
I hope they leave with a sense of courage and a willingness to try things, to try new things, to take risks and make mistakes, and just, you know, be willing to step out there. From day one, I teach my kids that we all mess up, we all make mistakes, and it's okay as long as it's something that we learn from and continue to move forward with.
Yeah. Awesome.
What's something you're reading right now or that you have read maybe in the past that you could maybe recommend? Maybe it's education-related, maybe it's not.
The last book I read was, over the summer, I read the book The Leftovers, which is now a series on HBO. And so far, based on what I've seen in the series, the book is way better. So if you're looking for something to read, I highly recommend The Leftovers.
Awesome.
So what is something that you've accomplished in your career that you're really proud of?
Last year I was selected as the Teacher of the Year for my school, which was a huge honor for me because it was my first year at the school. To have them choose me as the Teacher of the Year, being brand new in that building, was a huge honor to me. And it made me feel like they really admired what I was doing and what I had brought to the school.
That's cool because your peers voted on that, correct?
It's a voting. All the teachers in the building vote. So I was selected by my peers, yeah.
Yeah, that's super cool. Yes. Yeah, that's I wonder, because you have such a popular blog and you're on Teachers Pay Teachers and you're very public about that, I wonder how other people... clearly, they still admire you if they're voting you for Teacher of the Year. So, so clearly you're doing awesome things in your classroom as well. You're not just amazing online.
Right.
But on that same aspect, you know, we've used the phrase quite a bit in our shows on here before about how you're never a prophet in your own land. Mm-hmm. Do you ever run into any animosity, or maybe animosity is not the right word, but any kind of attitude from other teachers about things that you're accomplishing and getting notoriety for?
You know, I have been very lucky. I have been so supported by my teammates, by the teachers in the school, my principal, and I know there are other teacher bloggers and people who are on Teachers Pay Teachers, and they've had a lot of pushback. They get a lot of attitude, but luckily for me, knock on wood, I haven't had any negative response from anybody that I work with. So I've been very blessed in that aspect.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So let's say you're having a really rough day. What do you do to like recenter yourself?
I come home. We have a dog, so that's always a good way to recenter. Of course, you know, I come home and I have a very supportive husband who takes care of the house and the dog and lets me do what I do. And so it's always nice to come home mm-hmm. to have, you know, somebody so supportive.
Right.
This kind of takes away some of the stress and some of that negativity that you might have faced that day.
Is kindergarten, I've never actually been in an elementary school to like watch how it works. I have been in a middle school, and that's got its own unique attributes. But like, I just picture like kids crying all the time and just and like running around with their heads cut off, and they're just like, you know. I think one lady explained it to me once. It was kind of like you're bobbing for apples and you're trying to hold all the apples underwater at one time, and they just keep popping back.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, and when my former principal moved me to kindergarten, like, that was my fear and my thought, like, oh, my gosh, these five-year-olds are going to be running wild all over the classroom, and what am I going to do with them? Like, they don't know how to do anything, and which is true. Like, when they come to kindergarten that first day, you know, they really don't know how to get in a line or how to sit on the floor or, you know, they don't know. They've never done school before. But just like with, you know, kids of in any grade, they thrive on the structures and the routines and the procedures. And it's just, you know, luckily I don't have criers. I didn't have any this year. I didn't have any last year. A couple of years ago, I had three girls on the first day of school who cried until they threw up. So, yeah, you know, I mean, they're five. They're excited. But it's just a matter of you just have to teach them what you want. And the difference is that you have to teach them every single little minute step of everything you want them to do, because they don't know, they don't have that foundation that older kids have. Mm-hmm. And you know, yeah. I think sometimes people who start teaching kindergarten, they miss that. I mean, you have to teach them literally like how to sit on the floor, like in a chair, like everything that you take for granted with older kids. You have to teach kindergarten. And there are days when I feel like I'm herding cats, and there are days, a lot of days, when I feel like I have completely lost control.
but we all have those days.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
Yeah.
That's why I told Chris, I said that's why it's a lot like his middle school kids, except
yeah, for
his
sure.
middle school kids will use a lot more colorful language probably.
Yeah, definitely.
But you
definitely.
Never know.
Right. Well, but the beauty of five-year-olds is that they will tell you everything. Like, they don't hold anything back. I know everything that goes on at home. I know everything that mommy and daddy did the night before.
Mm-hmm.
They just don't use the right, you know, the colorful language. But they'll tell you anything and everything you want to know.
Right. What a tremendous responsibility you have as kind of the gatekeeper for everyone that comes behind you, you know? I mean, I applaud you for it, for sure.
Well, thank you. You know, we were talking the other night, me and Jason, and we talked about how everybody remembers their kindergarten teacher.
Yeah, that's true.
Because for almost everybody, that's the first time that you've had to go away from mommy and daddy and, you know, be on your own. And so here you are in this big building, in this big room with this strange person. And so, you know, for almost all of us, that person is somebody we always remember.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
So, Greg, over the last year, what has been the biggest thing that you've learned?
Wow, that's tough. The biggest thing that I've learned is that when you set expectations for yourself or your classroom, the higher you set them, the harder you and your students will work. And I think that something I pride myself on is that I really push myself to be a better teacher every day, and then I push my kids to be better students every day. And I've found that the more I push them, the more they do for me, and the more they succeed.
It kind of segues nicely to my next question. It's kind of how do you motivate those kind of those reluctant learners, I guess you would call them, in kindergarten even. You know, the kids that just, I don't know if they've learned to not want to do anything yet, but maybe you have some of those students too.
You know, that's one of the benefits of teaching kindergarten is that most of the kids are really excited. And they, I mean, no matter what you do, they think it is the most awesome thing ever. I mean, you know, we'll get out paper and I'll just be like, here, cut this up and make a picture. And they just think that's the best thing ever. But I think every year I've always had at least one, usually a boy, who's always too cool for school. And yeah, I think last year the little boy sticks out. He just would not do anything that was funny or silly, and I worked all year to tear down his wall. And really all what it takes is love. Like, he had to know that I loved him, and he had to know that he was in a safe place. And slowly over the course of the year, that wall came down. And towards the end of the year, it was the last week of school, and we were talking, and I said, my job is done. Like, you guys are going to first grade. I'm done. You're done with me. Kindergarten is over. You're moving on to first grade. And he looked at me, and he screamed, I don't want to leave you. And I realized that all year long he had that I'm way too cool for this, but it was all sinking in. And just allowing him to have that safety to do it at his own pace and to get to that point where that wall finally came down. It just takes love, and they have to know that they're safe.
So what is some advice that your current self would give to your new teacher self, knowing what you know now?
Be organized. I'm the worst at being organized, and that adds a lot of stress to my day. That would be the biggest advice. Be organized, and don't be afraid to ask for help.
Yeah, that's great.
It's so easy as teachers to get in that classroom and close the door and feel isolated and feel insulated from other people. And, don't be afraid to ask for help.
This next one, we haven't asked this in quite a while, and I'm not asking you to, like, share anything that you don't want to share, but, like, have you had, like, an interaction with a child or a parent maybe that's kind of one of those stories that you know is just going to stick with you for, the rest of your life? It's just, like, you made that connection or, that just going to – it just sticks with you.
Anybody who has read my blog over the past year has read the stories of a little girl that I call Fire Drill.
I was hoping you would tell this story.
So, we're not supposed to have favorites, but that little girl will stick with me for the rest of my life, and she really did change my whole outlook on teaching. And in fact, I'm giving a TED Talk in October, and my TED Talk is built around how that child impacted me as a teacher. But everybody always asks, how did she get her name? How did you come up with this name, Fire Drill? And it was the beginning of school last year, and it was our first Fire Drill of the year. So we had practiced, we'd read a book, we've talked about it, we were ready. And, of course, it happens when they're in art, so that I'm not with them. So I walk out through the office, and I'm out front, and here come my kids around the building, and I'm like, oh, look at that. They're in a straight line. They're quiet. Oh, I'm so proud of them. And, I quickly counted and realized that there were only 14, and there should have been 15. And, of course, I had that, that moment of panic, like, if this were a real fire, I'd have to go back in the building. And about that time, here comes little Fire Drill around the corner of the building in her little khaki dress, arms waving frantically in the air, screaming, it's a fire! It's a fire! So here she in front of half of the school, all of the the office staff, the principal, everybody's out there. And I'm like, yeah, that's mine. Yeah, so that little and to have that little girl, like, walk in the school the first day, and when I said, good morning, what's your name? She went, oh. Like, on day one, she couldn't even tell me her name. And to have her leave kindergarten at the end of the year reading almost at grade level was just phenomenal for me. And so that little girl and just her attitude, I mean, she worked harder than anybody. And there were days when she was just working away. She might not necessarily have understood what she was doing, but she never gave up. Even on the days when she would get mad at me and go, God, every time I would talk to her, she never gave up, and she was always happy. And it really caused me to take a step back and look at how I approached those students who I knew from the beginning were going to be more of a challenge. Like, I don't think she will ever understand the impact she had on me as a teacher and as a person.
Now, and didn't you even do a big reveal or something on your blog, or she got to come on and be a guest or something, right?
Yeah, at the end of the year, everybody kept asking to meet her, and so I got with her parents, and I kind of told them, you know, I write a blog, and I've talked about her without naming her all year long, and, you know, I said people love her, and she has a fan club all over the world, and, you know, they would love to meet her, and they gave me permission to do a video with her on the blog. So that's everybody awesome. Finally got to meet her.
That's so cool.
I love that. So, Greg, the question we always love ending on is, what is something right now that you're really passionate about?
Something right now that I'm really passionate about? It's teaching. You know, teaching is my passion. It's what I love. It's, you know, it's where my heart is. It's something that I'm so thankful every day that I have a job that I absolutely love. I love to get up in the morning and go to work. I love being with the kids. I love watching them have those light bulb aha moments when they finally get something. You know, I love the lesson planning. I love coming up with the ideas and the activities and creating the materials. I'm just a big teacher dork because I just love everything about teaching. And I mean, that's what I'm passionate about.
Awesome.
Well, thank you so much, Greg. We really appreciate you spending your Sunday evening with us. I know it, half an hour on a Sunday evening when school's just getting started is prime time, so I really appreciate it. And how can listeners connect with you, like maybe your Twitter handle and your blog?
I am all over the place. I'm on Twitter at Kindergarten Smorgasbord. I'm on Facebook, Kindergarten Smorgasbord. I'm on Instagram, Kindergarten Smorgasbord. I have the blog. It's www.thekindergartensmorgasbord.com. So I'm everywhere. I'm on Pinterest. Yeah, everywhere.
You know, I would tell our listeners to definitely follow him on Instagram. That's where I found out about him, and I've loved following the pictures and seeing the transformation of his classroom and all the other kind of things. So that's one of the ways that I have really gotten a glimpse into Greg's classroom.
Yeah, I love Instagram. I think that's my new favorite social media. Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
If you can follow us, Twitter, EduAllStarsHQ is our Twitter handle. We tweet at EduAllStars hashtag, and then our website is EduAllStars.com. We've got all 62 podcasts there that we've done so far. And you can also search us on iTunes for EduAllStars with no spaces and listen to any of the archives that we have from our podcast.
And you can join us next Sunday, August 31st, where we will be interviewing Tom Murray at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time. And then Sunday, September 7th, we'll be interviewing Gary Aboud at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time on that date. And also, don't forget to show our sponsors some love by tweeting them at Miami Device or going and visiting their website, miamidevice.org, and check out the speakers, sessions, and everything else that's been planned for what's sure to be the EdTech event of the year. Greg, thanks again for coming on with us. We really appreciate it. It was great hearing a little bit about you, and so thank you.
Thank you for having me. It was a blast.
Yeah. Awesome. Thanks, Greg.
Thank you.